Hi, I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. As a mother who has a child on the autism spectrum, I know how important it is to be an advocate for your child. I was blessed to read the incredible book by Reva Martin, ESQ, The Everyday Advocate, Standing Up for Your Child with Autism. We are all blessed now to be joined by Reva this morning to share tips from her wonderful book. Dr. Phil McGraw writes, quote, if your family is facing special challenges, Reva Martin's new book is the guide for getting the best possible life for your child. Her personal and professional experience with autism make her expertise invaluable. Reva Martin has appeared on Dr. Phil, Good Morning America, and Fox News, and has counseled hundreds of parents of autistic children. A graduate of University of Chicago and Harvard Law School, she is the founding and managing partner of Martin & Martin, LLP. Additionally, Martin is the president and co-founder of Special Needs Network, Inc., SNN, a nonprofit launched specifically to support families with special needs children. Reva, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming on. In the introduction, I mentioned Dr. Phil, and I wanted to add that not only is this, you know, the best guide for getting the best possible life for your child, it is also the best guide for getting the best possible life for your family. And I think that's one of the reasons why I loved your book for many reasons so much is that you emphasize it's autism is a family matter.
Oh, absolutely. And you know that when you have a child or any individual in your family who has an illness or a disorder, it really does impact the entire family. And one of the things I wanted to do in the book is really emphasize, you know, the importance of keeping your family intact and provide some practical strategies on how to do that.
And that's exactly what you do. I mean, that's why I love your book so much, is because you have not only you have practical strategies, and you actually have, you know, sections on things that you can say. So when you're being blamed, or if you're trying to talk to a doctor who isn't letting you make an appointment on time or is giving you a hard time, you have, I mean, that is so important when you're a parent of a child with autism and you're completely overwhelmed, to have something that says, here's what you should say that will be helpful.
I can tell you, Lisa, one of my own experiences highlight the importance of that. When my son was about 3 years older, so he was in preschool, and we went to a birthday party. I took him and my daughter, Morgan, who's just 1 year older than him, and it was at a big gymnasium with lots going on, and we were only supposed to be in one part of this gym. And, of course, Marty was attracted to what was going on throughout the entire complex, and it was so difficult keeping him focused on the party and keeping him with the kids there. And at one point, the parents who were giving the party, well-intentioned, you know, nice people otherwise, became really frustrated with him because he wouldn't, you know, stay in this little contained area. And they made it so difficult for me. And I wanted to walk out. I wanted to, you know, break down in tears. And I had to just take a deep breath, walk out the party, come back in and say to myself, if I walk out of this party now, I'm going to be walking out of every situation, you know, forever. And that's not right. It wasn't fair to Morgan, who had come, who was having a good time, and it wasn't going to be ultimately fair for Marty. And so as parents, sometimes you just need a quick script that you can recite, you know, that will help you manage through a very difficult situation. So I wanted to provide that for parents and empower them with information that they could use, you know, when they face these challenging situations.
Well, it's so funny because I actually wrote down to ask you about that story because I thought that was a great example. I think I would have left. Honestly, you're so strong. I think I would have just been overwhelmed, and I think that's great. And you actually, you know, they didn't know that he had autism, right?
You know, they didn't know, and that was during that period when I was myself grappling with, you know, which so many parents do. How do you tell people? Who do you tell? When do you tell them? I mean, because, you know, there are people in your inner circle, obviously, that you may feel more comfortable telling, but you have to ask yourself, you know, is everyone I'm going to meet someone that I should explain this to? And that's a process that parents have to go through, and they have to decide as a family. Now, ultimately, as an advocate, I tell parents, anyone your child's going to be around, it is important that they know, because you can avoid a lot of those situations. But in those early stages, for many parents, that's not very comfortable. You know, it's not a comfortable conversation to have.
Yes, that's true. You know, and I wanted to go back to something in your foreword that I was really touched by, the story of your grandmother and her son, Ed. And you talked a lot about that sort of influenced you in becoming, you know, such a great advocate. And if you can tell us a little bit about them.
Well, my grandmother, I grew up with, and in the book talks about, she was a paraplegic. When I was born, she had unfortunately been shot. And back in the 50s, you know, if you were injured in any, you know, way, you know, we didn't have the same modern technologies that we have today. So she stayed in the hospital for many, many years. And some of it wasn't really related to the illness as much as it was logistically, you know, someone in a wheelchair. We lived in a housing project in North St. Louis, and it was a very small complex. So managing and navigating a large wheelchair, you know, in her environment was quite difficult. And, you know, I grew up with her, and I watched her, this incredible woman, very strong, very spirited, very determined, and despite her obstacles, you know, still being so positive, never whining, never complaining, you know, never asking why me. And at the time, of course, no idea, no concept that I would be a parent of a child with a disability, no thought that I would be an advocate for individuals with disabilities, but, you know, things happen in your life for a reason. And sometimes there are experiences that happen to you as a younger person or at a different point in your life that do, you know, leave an indelible mark and do impact the work you're going to do in later life. And so clearly, you know, watching my grandmother and watching her, you know, just overcome obstacles played an important part in my life.
Oh, that's terrific. You know, you ask such important questions in the book, and in the foreword you write, quote, so ask yourself, does my child have a school program that is enriching and appropriate? Is my child included with typical children at the level that I would like? Do we have a comprehensive social program that targets my child and my child's peers? You cover all of that and so much more. I mean, I honestly could spend the whole interview just reading quotes from your book. I mean,
well, you know, those are the issues.
So
because, again,
yes,
you get this diagnosis and you have more unanswered questions than you have answers to questions. And quickly, a two-year-old child is going to be ready to enter school. And you have to start thinking about all of these things. You know, like with my typical girls, when it was time for school, you know, you select a school, your neighborhood school or a private school or wherever. You fill out a simple application. There may be an interview process involved, but, you know, it's a fairly straightforward process getting a child enrolled in kindergarten. But with a child with autism or any related disorder, it's not so easy. You know, you have an IEP document, a legal document that has to be created, signed off on, you know, before that child can even enter his or her first day of school. And quickly, parents have to become quite familiar with this process and, you know, all that it entails. So I really wanted to just give them a roadmap. That's what I, you know, so missed when I got Marty's diagnosis. I didn't feel like I had a comprehensive plan as to where we were going, you know, each step of the way. And that's what I want the book to be for parents, and not just those parents who have children with autism, parents who have a child with any special needs, parents who have a child with any challenges in the school district, you know, can use this book to be that roadmap for them.
Yeah, it's an incredible roadmap. And what I love about it, too, is not only is you have these very practical issues, but you have issues on a more emotional, personal level.
Yeah.
You know, you write, quote, like many parents, I also felt a profound sense of loss. And I think that's so important for parents, you know, for parents to be able to talk about. And
so
I went
so
through
important.
That quite a bit. You know,
I can't meet a parent, Lisa, who doesn't. I just finished a book event in a Barnes & Noble in Los Angeles, and, you know, we had to share a story time. So this wasn't like your normal book signing where purchase, you know, you buy a book and you get it signed. We shared our stories, and I had just attended a cotillion for my niece, and I watched this teenage girl who has Down syndrome participate in this very complex cotillion with a choreographed dance and, you know, a little speech that they had to read, and I could not contain myself. I was so tearful. So even though, you know, your child may have been diagnosed 2 years ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago, I think for all parents or all caregivers, there's always that emotional piece that's with you. And watching this girl in this cotillion just reminded me of the amazing possibilities for children with special needs, you know, whether they're on the autism spectrum, whether they have Down syndrome or cerebral palsy or a learning disability or whatever. You know, when our community, when we as families and communities embrace these children, they have so much potential. So watching this little girl, I mean, it was so heartwarming. And, of course, I saw my son. I'm like, oh, my God, that's my son in his graduation or, you know, in some rites of passage activity for him.
Mm-hmm. And you know what you're talking about relates to, and again, I'm not going to spend the whole time reading quotes, but you write, quote, defining your own perspective is one of the secrets to being an unshakable advocate for your child. And I think just what you're talking about, when you go there and you get moved by what you saw and you think, you know what, they can have these things too. It might be a little different.
Yes.
And so if you can expand on that a little bit.
You know, I think when I talk about the sense of loss, you know, as all parents, when we get pregnant and, you know, we're planning for that child,
oh,
we have
yeah.
their nursery picked out and their preschool, and, you know, we know what sport we want them to play, and maybe even we've thought along the road in terms of college and graduate school and careers, and then this child is born, and, you know, at whatever stage you learn about the disability, you've got to redefine what those expectations are. You know, you have to embrace and love this child with the same, you know, passion and compassion. But now the plans of college are different for many kids. And some will go to college, but some won't. And so what is your perspective? You know, what is important to you as a family? You know, how do you enjoy the simple things? I remember when Marty started coughing and covering his mouth with his hand. I had to celebrate that. That had to be as important as,
yes.
you know, hitting that ball out of the park, you know, at his first, you know, Little League baseball game. And that's what I mean in terms of redefining, you know, your perspective. Because if you don't do that as a parent, you know, you can spend so much time with regrets, you know, really being regretful. And that you can't be a strong advocate if you're in that place of regret.
Yeah, and what are some of the principles of advocacy? You mentioned seven, and if you want to touch on each one, that would be great.
Great, and these seven principles, again, you know, very applicable in the context of raising a child with autism or any special needs, but I think these seven principles are applicable in so many other situations, you know, be it working through a difficult situation in your job, be it working through a personal relationship or a professional relationship, they just have applicability in so many settings. So this book, what I'm so excited about is that it really has applicability, you know, across the board in so many professional and personal situations. But the first principle is take responsibility. You know, as an advocate, you know, we can't assume, sit back and expect the school district or, you know, the medical profession or anyone to advocate for our children. We really have to step up to the plate and be willing to accept the responsibility that we are the change that we want to see. And be it in, you know, we want to see more programs in our school. Okay, there's something we can do about that. We want to see, you know, more programs in our community for children with special needs. There's something we can do about that. So all of us have a role to play on an individual level, on a family level, on a community level, in, you know, making those changes occur that we know are going to be helpful to us individually and as a family.
Mm-hmm.
So that's principle one, you know,
okay.
big responsibility that we all have to take.
Yes. And if you can tell us about a little bit about each principle, that would be, that'd be great.
Principle two is, and it may not be in this exact order, but taking responsibility, learning to document in this process. And I don't just mean, you know, keeping copies of letters or, you know, writing down everything, which that's very important. And I talk about, you know, how to maintain journals and create, you know, really a file system and organizational system that's going to serve you well. But even getting more creative, you know, with your child, or making a videotape, you know, so that you can look at the progress your child has made, say, at the beginning of a therapeutic session that you may have, and then look, say, 12 weeks down the road to see what progress a child has made. Using an audio tape, but just memorializing, you know, what's happening at your child at different stages so that you can then determine what's next, you know, and what do I need to get for that child, you know, moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Learning to collaborate. You know, you're going to be in touch with school administrators, educators, doctors, therapists, so many people make up your child's team. You know, how do you build positive working relationships with these people, many of whom you may not always agree with.
Yeah.
You know, you may find yourself having to challenge your school district. But keeping in mind that you're going to have a long-term working relationship, how do you do that in a respectful yet assertive way that allows you to continue working as a team? Very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
Learning to just speak up. You know, when I talk about advocacy and I teach advocacy to parents through my special needs network and through my law firm, I've had parents say to me, you know, I'm shy. You know, I don't want to speak up. You know, I'm not used to talking, you know, in front of groups or crowds or, you know, publicly. And I say to everyone, you don't have to be a lawyer. You don't have to be a trained professional speaker or a politician. You know, but when you feel empowered, when you have knowledge, when you have confidence, it's a lot easier.
Yes.
So, you know, when you're armed with information, you know, when you go into an IEP meeting and you have this really well color coordinated, you know, notebook with all of your files and your records, it's a lot easier, you know, to be that voice than when you go in and, you know, your papers, you know, shoved in a bag or in a briefcase that you're, you know, you're trying to find a report from 2005. And
oh, yeah.
You're find, you know, that level of disorganization, you know, can cause you to retreat and not have that confidence that you need to be that strong voice. So, you know, I think everyone can learn to speak up. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, again, some practical steps you have to take. Educate, you know, as advocates, one of the biggest things that we can do, you know, is teach other people. You know, that situation with Marty and Morgan and I at that party, so yes. much of that has to do with the lack of knowledge, lack of information that the people at the party had around disabilities and around children with autism. So, you know, going out into our own communities, and it just might be as simple as talking to a neighbor and explaining to your neighbor, you know, what children with autism experience, what parents with autism experience. Because I know you've probably experienced this. I have. When you just share some information, you kind of see that light bulb go off. And people say, oh, I didn't know that. You know, I didn't realize that, you know, that children with autism, you know, sometimes have these loud outbursts and, you know, that's sometimes related to their sensory needs.
Yes.
You know, and that can just be very helpful.
Well, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's true. You know, I think something that I did that was probably wrong is I wouldn't bring my daughter to, like, places with lots of people and really loud because I just didn't want her to get too overwhelmed. And I just sort of looked back and said, maybe I shouldn't have done this, you know, this way. And my brother was always like, you got to bring her because if you don't, people just, they won't believe. I was like, nobody believes me, you know. And they're like, well, she's like, well, you don't let them see it, you know.
Yeah.
I think
and
I
that's
just put that out there for people.
I think in the early stages, I know for me, mm-hmm. you're constantly, you know, balancing that and asking
yes.
yourself, you know, do I take, you know, a wedding? I remember taking Marty to a wedding. You know, a wedding has some very quiet moments.
Yes,
I think I tell a story in the book about going to a funeral, a family funeral, where, again, you know, there's some solemn moments of prayer and contemplation. And, you know, what do you do? But what I've learned is that your brother is right. It's so important that we expose our children to
mm-hmm.
these situations, and then that other people have an opportunity to see our children. And I know for our family, getting Marty more involved in those situations helped him, you know, learn to use his quiet voice, use his inside voice, you know, and maybe taking breaks. Well, we learned, we go to an African-American church with loud gospel music and lots of activity, but we started taking him, and we would take snacks, and we would take reinforcers, and, you know, we would take breaks every 15 minutes or so, walk outside, give him a chance to just kind of jump up and down and, you know, release some energy, give him a snack or you know, give him some kind of positive reinforcer, and then come back in.
That's,
and over time, we watched him be able to tolerate more and more and more, to the point now he can sit through an hour and a half service. You know,
wow.
Maybe go to one bathroom break. But, I mean, and it was just the slow buildup. It was the slow consistency of, you know, getting him used to that environment. And, again, when you feel empowered, when you know that you have some words, you know, when you have some things to say, when some people in the church service or the, you know, the library or the restaurant are staring and making hateful sometimes they're very hateful and hurtful remarks that people make.
Yes.
And as an advocate, you have to learn, you know, how do you respond to those things?
Yes.
And that was very helpful to me. And I write a story about a family, the Ponces, who were in a restaurant, you know, and had, again, that very uncomfortable situation of someone, you know, speaking very negatively about, you know, their children and how their children were playing and interacting. And them having to stand up to those people. And, you know, with the number of children being diagnosed with autism,
yes.
you're not going to be able to go anywhere, anywhere, you know, without meeting or encountering or interacting with someone on the spectrum.
That's true. No, it totally is true. And one of the stories in your book that broke my heart was a poor woman who was told by her, I think it was her priest, that it was her fault because, or something. Or
yes.
I, you
yes.
know, I'm thinking that is incredible. insane. How could a priest say that to somebody?
And it happens. That is the scary, scary part. And that's why a lot of why I started my nonprofit Special Needs Network, particularly to work in communities of color and in low-income communities, because what I found was there was a great deal of stigma associated with having a child with disabilities in certain ethnic groups. And the parents were being blamed, particularly the moms. Mm-hmm. And this woman at a big church event we had given, you know, stood up and said for years she had been carrying the burden of being blamed by her pastor for her child's disability.
That is just...
And she broke down and she just, you know, cried and she expressed how difficult it had been for her living with that and believing it and then acting on that belief. And that's why, you know, as parents, that's why as educators and advocates and community leaders, you know, talking about this issue allows people to express those kinds of feelings and get information. And I don't know when your child was diagnosed, but I know when Marty was diagnosed, I couldn't find many groups, you know, discussion groups, support groups, mm-hmm. community groups that were really having this discussion.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, I really like the online support groups, and you mentioned those in your book as well. Those have been really helpful.
Yes, very helpful. You don't have to leave home. You can identify, you can, you know, connect with people all over the globe, really.
Yes.
Because autism is a, you know, it's a global issue.
Mm-hmm.
When I launched the book about 10 days ago or so, I was in New York at the United Nations and talking about the 67 million people around the globe that are impacted by autism. And the United Nations, you know, declared World Autism Day a couple of years ago. And they've gotten many of their member nations involved in raising awareness. And the World Health Organization is working on a project to work with underserved countries and developing countries on, you know, how to address this issue. Because there are countries where there are literally millions of individuals impacted with autism, and they don't have the, you know, the research, they don't have the resources that we have in this country. So
that's
even
true.
Though we have, you know, a lot of work to be done, some countries are even, you know, further behind on this issue than we are.
Yeah, you know, you are so incredible. I would love for you to come back and talk about your Special Needs Network. And there's so much stuff in the book that I haven't gotten to. And if that would be okay, I'd love to make
that. Oh, I'd love to come back. I mean, this is an issue I'm passionate about.
Yeah,
it's both personal
great.
To me as well as, you know, what I do as, in part as a professional. So any opportunity I have to share, talk to parents, and to connect with others who are working on this issue, be my pleasure.
Oh, I'm so glad. Now, how can people learn more about you?
They can log on to my website, www.areva, that's A-R-E-V-A, Martin, M-A-R-T-I-N.com. So that's www.areva, A-R-E-V-A, Martin, M-A-R-T-I-N.com. And there they can find information about the book. The book is in every major bookstore. It's available online at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. They can also learn about my nonprofit and the work that I'm doing.
Oh, hello?
I'm here.
Oh, you still there?
Yes.
Oh, thank goodness. I'll edit that out. I heard a click, and I was like, no.
No.
I'm sorry. Go on. They can learn about
it. So they can
nonprofit.
Log on to my website and get information about my Special Needs Network project, upcoming book signings that I'll be doing, and things that are happening around you know, the country related to autism.
Well, I want to thank you again so much, and if people want to reach me, they can go to itsyourhealthradio.org. Everyone have a great week. Keep being healthy. Take care. Bye-bye.